Hey, thanks so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast from Vital Point Church. My name is Ron. I'm the pastor here at Vital Point. We believe that it's important for people to explore and grow in their faith. And my hope, my prayer is that this message that you're listening to will draw you closer to better understanding how you can live out your faith journey in the everyday life. Sit back and enjoy.
Well, my name is David. I'm part of the team here at Vital Point Church, and I'm the Community and Connections Pastor, and I live up in the Huron County region where we have planted a site in Exeter in southwestern Ontario. And I've got to tell you, being part of Vital Point Church, being the church, the movement of God in this way in southwestern Ontario just gets me absolutely jacked up. We've got incredible people part of our church that are inviting friends and family into this space. And I love that Vital Point Church is a place, it's safe. It's a safe place for people, no matter where you are in life, to explore and grow in faith. It's something that we love being a part of people's lives. We love leading people to a message of love, care, and forgiveness. And this is our hope and our prayer for today as well, that you would experience that through our conversation. And we're in a series right now called Identity Crisis. We're wrapping it up today. It's a three-part series. And I don't know if you've noticed, but our world is definitely going through an identity crisis. I look around and I'm quite taken back on how this world is turning to everything and anything to find an identity, to find something of why people want to live with a purpose and a calling. They're scratching at anything. And you can look at our world right now. And I don't know if you've noticed or you feel this, but there's this groaning, there's this oozing sense of identity crisis in our world that's beginning to seep up through the ground. You can feel it rumbling, and then people are feeling this with inside themselves. This identity crisis. It's beginning to truly surface through our world right now, and at least I've noticed a few areas that it's through social media that it's been oozing out with consumerism, individualism, careers, sexuality. This identity crisis is right in front of us. And let's be honest, many of us maybe today can identify that we do have a crisis in this area of our life. Maybe you've been tracking with Vital Point for a little bit right now, and through this series and conversations, you've been like, wow, I'm starting to identify that I do have an identity crisis. Maybe I need to figure this out. Maybe I need to try something that's going to give me a sense of peace and hope that's going to last forever, not what this world wants to offer, but what we're talking about today. See, we as a church, we see this. We see that our world is going through this, and we believe it's so vital for families, individuals, and a community of people to talk about this. Not to push it off, but to face it head on. This is why we've been journeying through this series, this conversation. What I love about this series, though, is through our identity crisis conversation is we're not looking at careers and identity in that way or sexuality in that way. Don't get me wrong. There's identity in those things. But what we're looking at is at the root of it, of this identity, of what it means to be in a relationship with Christ, in Christ. This phrase is actually used all throughout the Bible to have a relationship in Christ is to be in and through Christ. The Apostle Paul, if you know who he is, he's a guy that wrote 13 epistles, which are letters to the New Testament, in the New Testament of the Bible, to the church. He's writing to church leaders and churches all throughout the ancient world, and he's writing to them, and he uses this phrase, in Christ, about 164 times. What happens when someone says something a lot? They probably mean something, right? There's a meaning behind it. They want people to hear the message that they are saying. He says it 164 times, to be in Christ. It's an interesting phrase when you look at it. Because when you're in something, you're consumed by it, right? It's shaping you. It's molding you. You begin to take on its shape. It becomes part of you or your whole being. And to be in Christ, week one, we looked at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, where Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, to the Ephesians, and he actually uses this phrase to them in this verse in Ephesians chapter 1. It says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his family by bringing us to himself through Jesus. And Paul then says later in that verse, he said, it gave God great pleasure. He adopted us. I love that word, adopted us, because it gives us the base of being one who is an identity in Christ. When someone by faith trusts Jesus with their life, walks into that moment, understanding what it is for them, they are given the right to be a child of God. It gives that person, God gives that person his spirit and identifies them as his own. And that comes into being the fully right identity of a child of God. And it's the most amazing thing, the right to be a son or daughter of God. Because in that moment when you trust Jesus, you're made new. You're a child of God. You're being shaped and molded into Christ. This is where the life-giving identity that we're talking about and that we're searching and exploring so that we can all have it. What does it mean to be in Christ? We've had some pretty incredible Sundays the last few weeks talking about this. First week we talked about what it means to be adopted, and then last week we talked about being a citizen of heaven, not just for the future, but here and now on this earth. And today, I'm so jacked up right now. I'm so jacked up because what I feel like we need to be talking about, it's already been hinted at today, that if we understand what it means to be adopted, then a citizen, how do we champion this identity? How does it be the thing that we live out? So today, I want to open up 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul writes this letter to the Corinthian church. It's his second letter to them. Talk about having one letter written to you. You need to get your act together. Talk about a second letter getting your act together. And he's talking to them about this identity that we are talking about today. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 15 to 21. I just want to read it for us, and then we're going to jump right in. If you already haven't noticed, I'm ready to jump in with you, okay? Verse 15. He says this, he died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely as a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people back to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. I want to take this passage that we just read and break it into two sections. So we're going to look at verses 15 to 17, and then we're going to look at 18 to 21, because these verses, breaking it up and then bringing it together, will help us understand what it means to champion this identity, and we will be able to face the identity crisis head on. So let's break down 15 to 17, and you could name this section, Christ died so that we may live. This is the really positive aspect of understanding our identity in Christ. By Jesus dying, which we celebrated a few weeks ago at Easter, and him raising from the grave, allows us to walk in a newness of life. You got to pay attention to that. The newness of life, of what it means to be raised from the grave, what the power of Jesus did for you and I. Because when he died, that we may live for him and through him. This is what the newness is when Christ died for us. This is the beautiful verse in 1 John 4:9, where it says, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we may have eternal life through him. Through him. But here's the beautiful part about being in Christ. It's not just through him, it's for him. Not just for ourselves. See, this is what the problem is with our world right now. The identity crisis that's oozing from the ground, the depths of this world in you and me, people identifying with this, is the fact that our world is telling you to serve, to explore, to assert your own truth, where your identity is, where you can do you. It's your truth. Just find it. Don't worry about anyone else. But here's the problem with that movement of you do you. It leads to brokenness, it leads to shame, it leads to hurt, and it hurts and hurting others. You live out of this you do you, it just leads to brokenness. And that brokenness needs to be made new. This identity crisis needs to be made new. So how did it happen? It happened through Christ dying on a cross for us so that you and I can be made new. He purchased the debt on the cross. This is where verses 16 and 17 really become alive for us, because 16 and 17, our new relationship and identity in Christ has given us a new relationship with creation and the world and the people in the world that we walk and live with and breathe with. This is beautiful. Because when you are made new in Christ, you see creation differently. The God who created everything, you think through the eyes and lens of how he created it. You do not create, you do not look through the creation of the worldly point of view. From now on, you regard no one from a worldly point of view. When Paul was writing this to the Corinthian church, when he was writing them to the Corinthian church, the achievements and the resume and the success of what I did and what I can take from you was really on the front line of what it meant to have an identity. It's what's going on in our world right now. What have I done? How can I climb the ladder? He's writing to the church here who has an identity crisis and people that were searching success over Christ. Their identity was rooted in what they could do. What could they take? They had an identity crisis. See, Paul had this identity crisis as well. He was writing from his own heart. He understood this. He had an identity crisis where when he was before he was in Christ, he was searching and judging and living from a worldly point of view that always led to a wrong conclusion. Always led to brokenness, someone getting hurt. Excuses. And by Paul writing this and say that you've been made new, he says the old life is gone, we can take confidence in this identity that we have a new identity, being adopted into the family of God and being a citizen of heaven. We've been chatting about this. Understanding the adoption and the citizen helps us with this new, fresh perspective of living our life. Because here's the thing. When people are in Christ, they've got a new creation. And through that new creation, the old is gone, the new has begun. I want to read 17 again, verse 17. It says, this means that anyone belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, the new life has begun. Week one, when we talked about this, when we opened up this series, I loved what Ron talked about. He used this phrase that he wants Vital Point Church to be a place where Christians are excited to be Christians again. Do you know what that means? That means he wants people, he desires, his heart is praying for people that identify being a home like Vital Point Church, that are inviting people, loving people, caring for people, not just living for themselves, but saying, hey, I'm a Christ follower, and this is how I live, with care, forgiveness, and on mission. Verse 17 should be like the fuel to the excitement that the new has begun, the old is gone. You can live in that newness because the new person equals new mindset, new eyes, new story, new view on God's creation, which leads us to, here's the big thing, a new mission on life. A new mission on life. When you've been impacted by the adoption and you identify with being a citizen of heaven, not just for the future, but now on this earth, you are made new and you have a new mission on your life that God is calling you to. That's the breakdown for 15 to 17. Christ died so that we may live on mission. So here's the breakdown of 18 to 21. Now you can name this section Champions of Reconciliation. And I want to read these verses again so it's fresh in our minds, because we've understood what it means to me. Sorry about my nose. It happens to me every time I speak. It's like I got a back pocket of Kleenexes just in case it becomes a waterfall. But I want to read this for us, back on track here, okay? I want to read this for us because this last section, the Champions of Reconciliation, is now the stepping stones of what it means to move forward in this, championing this identity. It says this, verse 18 to 21, and all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ, and God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassador. You could use the word champions right there. Ambassador, you got to champion this thing. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sins so we could be made right with God through Christ. This verse gives us a huge, massive picture of how committed God truly is to reconciling his creation that he created. This is a massive commitment that God has committed himself to reconciling by sending his one and only son. Not like he had like 1,000 sons and he goes, just go for it. He sends his one and only son for us so that we can take a step of faith into a relationship that enters us into being reconciled with the creator of the universe. That's crazy, but it's beautiful because it's full of love. It's full of understanding that he sees you. He knows you. He knows that you have an identity crisis. And he says, I'm going to take care of that. Trust in my son who died for you. So how do we apply this to our lives? That's the question that I've been asking myself. I don't want to ask the question, what does this mean? Because I think we need to be asking better questions as people exploring and growing faith and also walking through life. How do we apply this to our lives? God is calling Christians, Christ followers, apprentices to Jesus who are exploring and growing in faith down the path for a long time or just beginning to live on mission for his kingdom. That's the raw, honest truth. God desires us to be in the world reconciling people, not of this world, being influenced of this by this world, but in this world reconciling people back to him, telling people about the good news that there is a Savior who has taken their sin, their shame, their darkest moments to a cross and rose again so that they have life through him and for him. I'm going to say something right now that I think all of us need to hear, and I need to hear it just as much as anyone else. God does not desire you to follow the you do you movement. He doesn't desire us to follow that. Trust me. God has seen that happen before over and over and over again. If you open up the Old Testament of the Bible, we were joking around this morning how incredible the Old Testament is, and we need to respect the stories of where our faith came from, because in the Old Testament, you can see the evidence of the you do you movement. They wanted and desired to have kings and kingdoms like this world, and God saw them doing this, and it led to idolatry and brokenness and serving other gods and worshiping other gods, and it led them to what? Shallow, shallow lives. And God knows this does not work, and he desires us to live on mission for the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom that you want to build in this world, because those walls need to come down. I'm saying that with love and care and grace, okay, and forgiveness. We need to be living on mission for the kingdom that reigns forever. That's his call on our life, is to live and breathe the message of Jesus. Champions of reconciliation. I want to ask you a question. And I just want to grab everyone's attention that's watching right now, that this question is really for you. If you're a Christ follower, if you can say, yeah, I know who Jesus is, he died for me, and I'm trying my absolute best to live this life that is the way of Jesus, the practice of Jesus, where he's shaping, molding me into something of an image of him, this question's for you. A little while back, I was in my apartment, and I was all by myself, and I was watching a message from a guy named Mark Clark at a church out west that I attended for a little bit, and in all honesty, I was kind of in and out of the conversation that he was having with the community online, and I had my headphones in, and I was doing something. I can't remember what I was doing, but all of a sudden, I was standing there. I'm like, did I just hear that correctly? And it caught me off guard, where I was just like, I can't believe I just heard that question that he asked that I'm about to ask you. So I ran back to my laptop and I rewinded it like 15, 30 seconds back, and I pressed play, and Mark asked this question. He goes like this, thinking about what we're talking today, living on mission, he asked this, has anyone in your life been baptized by the evidence of you living out your faith? Has anyone in your life been baptized by the evidence of you living out your faith? My jaw hit the floor. I picked it up like 17 times off the floor when I heard that. I sent it to a few friends and I thought about this question. I wrestled with it. I asked myself, am I living on mission? Is there evidence of my faith? That people are being influenced by love and forgiveness and Jesus and the way he is shaping me and molding me. And in all honesty, it had me shook and had the hair on my neck like standing up and like yours should be right now, because this question is huge. Because when you look at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5 where it says you're adopted and there's this process of being adopted into the family, there's this next action step of identifying with it, but then living on mission. You don't keep it for yourself. You don't like put it in a box and hide it away and be like, oh, this is so great, like I'm a Christian. No, you open up your life and say, how can I live on mission? How can I have other people, other friends, family members, coworkers be adopted and reconciled through my evidence of living out my faith? I have a buddy that he's part of my Connect group. Connect groups at Vital Point Church are 6 to 12 people that get together and talk about life and faith and wrestle with the hard conversations. We were talking about this adoption, an evidence of living out our faith. And he's adopted, and in our Connect group, we were opening up this, and it got really real. And he looks at us through Zoom, and I love Zoom because you can still read people's emotions through the camera. And he got real honest with us about the adoption, because we started asking all these questions, and he opened up about his experience, and he said, it's rough, it's tough, there's trauma, it's not all sunshine and raindrops, whatever you want to call it, or it's not the greatest thing in the world always. Everyone's story's a little bit different when you're adopted. But then he leans into the camera on Zoom. And over Zoom, he says, but guess what, guys? I may have trauma, I may have brokenness that I'm still working through the process of this, but he goes, the adoption process of God is the perfect inclusion. There's nothing like being adopted into the family of God. Because the adoption process starts at a new beginning. It's not your past. It's not your present, it's not your shame, it's not your guilt. It starts with God seeing you as a new beginning, a new person, a new identity. So when you think of this question, is there evidence of you living out your faith and people being baptized by it? You've been adopted into a family that calls you to live this out so more people hear about it. So they too can also be perfectly included into the family of God. It's not just for yourself, it's for everyone. God desires all of his creation to be reconciled back to him. And guess what? He calls us to do the work. Reconciliation means to be changed thoroughly. Thoroughly. Baptism is the evidence that someone has changed all throughout their entire being. And here's something I want to let you know. This is something that we need to stop in our world. We need to stop putting the expectation on just pastors doing this. Let me sit in this pocket for a second. With love and care, don't get me wrong. There's an expectation that pastors are the ones to be doing all the hard work. To be baptizing, to be praying, to be reading their Bibles, to be healing people, to be doing whatever it is, the work of God. There's this expectation that it's just so wrong. It's wrong, because if you look at the Bible, if you look at Scripture, this Bible is full of words that is calling you to move and breathe this out as well. Not just pastors. It's calling all Christ followers, all people that identify with a relationship in Jesus, in Christ, to live this out. It's the fuel to your excitement about being a Christian. We need to be sharing this. We need to be living this identity out. Because here's the thing. Here's this beautiful thing. Jesus talks about this. Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 9, 35 to 38. It says this, Jesus traveled through the towns and villages of the area. There's an example of Jesus living on mission, traveling around, talking, preaching, and teaching in synagogues, announcing the good news, it says, about the kingdom. It says he healed every kind of disease and sickness and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great. I love how Jesus notices something, and then he pulls in his disciples and says, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the fields. These few verses, maybe a small package, but it's massive because it's the bridge between Jesus' ministry and our call to live on mission. The very next chapter in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is sending out his disciples because he noticed that the world, which God, the Father, who is in charge of the world, he notices that he is the one of the harvest. And God and Jesus notices and he has compassion on them because they're sick, there's disease, there's confusion, there's all of this stuff going on, there's this identity crisis that's going on. And he leans into his disciples and he says, come here. Guess what? Pray to God that he will send more workers into the fields, into the harvest, the world, so that you all can move and champion this reconciliation. Because guess what? Jesus noticed it. It's far too great for me to do it on my own. It's far too great to do this on my own. See, here's the realization. Pastors aren't the ones hanging out at your job site. They're not in the hockey arenas. Well, they are in the hockey arenas. They're probably the craziest parents out there, too. Trust me, I lived with one. They're not in your Zoom rooms. They're not in your lunch room. They're not on your job site. Some of them are. But here's the thing. Guess who is? You are. You are in those places. And if you're someone who is in Christ, a Jesus follower, you have a mission on your life, a calling to be a champion of reconciliation that don't preach. Don't get on a soapbox and preach. Just live it out. Show by faith. Show by example of living out this care and forgiveness and love to others. Because when you live on mission, I believe there's nothing stopping you. When you've got the power of the Holy Spirit inside you, when you identify that you're in Christ, where he's shaping, moving, and molding you into something beautiful that the world needs right now. You might be asking, how? How do I do this? How do I begin a journey of championing this reconciliation? How do I live out my faith to a world that doesn't see eye to eye with this, or a world that just doesn't see that it's great to live on mission like this? How do I live this out right now? My advice to you is to pray to the Holy Spirit and say, give me the strength. Give me the power to live this out. Give me the courage to be a champion of reconciliation in a world that's constantly battling an identity crisis. But you also need to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal this identity crisis to you, for you. Not for anyone else. Not a boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, husband, wife, your pastor. None of those people. You need to be realizing that it's for you from Jesus, from the creator of the universe. Because when you realize this and understand this and know this with all of your being, something powerful happens. The Holy Spirit gives you supernatural gifts that gives you courage, that gives you faith, that gives you confidence to live in a world that needs more reconciliation than ever. So will you do it? Will you tap into this area of your life where you're saying, you know what, God, I'm done with this world influencing me. I'm going to walk and influence it with reconciliation and love and passion and care by the evidence of my faith. Will you tap into that? My hope and prayer is that you will. Now, here's another thing. You might be sitting here and you're like, okay, where do I begin? Someone sent me the link. I kind of stumbled on this because the algorithm of social media is crazy. I don't know how I got here, but here I am. What does this mean for you? You're maybe sensing something in the room. You may be feeling like, okay, whoa, this is more than what I'm used to of what's going on in my room. I don't know what it is. It's only me here, or it's just me and my family, and I'm sensing something. My advice to you, if this is your first time, you've never been a Christ follower before, you never identified with this, reach out to our team. Text the number that we've got provided for you, because we would love to journey with you, because we believe God right now, by the power of His Holy Spirit, is moving in your room. He's trying to speak to you. He's trying to reconcile you through His Son, Jesus, who died for you. Don't let this just be a one-day thing. Lean into this moment. How does this apply to my life? Now, you might be sitting in the room right now and you're like, whoa, I can't just text someone. I need to act on this right now. And I want to pause right now and respect the people that are feeling that right now, that they want to be a champion of reconciliation for the first time. And if you're someone that wants to identify with Jesus right now in this moment, I just ask you to open up your hands. Push away the phone and the distractions and just open up your hands. And if you want this for yourself, you want to be done with an identity crisis where you can fight head on with this world in a way that is full of love and care and forgiveness through Jesus, open up your hands and just repeat after me. Jesus, come into my life. Come into my life and give me a fresh, new start. I want to take a step into a relationship with you. Forgive me. I want to be a champion of heaven. Amen. If you said this prayer today, we as a community of people want to celebrate you. So text that number, and we've got a team of people that would love to journey with you no matter what. No matter what's going through your heart or your mind right now, text that number, and we would love to celebrate with you. Because we are a church on mission that wants people to understand that there is a love and a care and a grace that helps them live in this world on mission for the Father being reconciled. And my hope and prayer for all of us today is to understand that our true identity is in a relationship with Jesus, and that we would not hide this, but we would champion this. Will you be a champion of heaven? We're about to sing a song together that the band has prepared. And I've been thinking about this song, and I was listening to this song this morning a bunch on repeat, and it's called Champion. And I was thinking to myself, man, oh man, Jesus is the supreme example of what it means to be a champion, fully human, relying on the Father, powered by the Holy Spirit to live on mission. So as we sing this song together, as the band brings it forward for us, sing along. Champion these words for your soul to ring it out like we sang this morning. Listen to the song. I don't know where you're at today with all this, but I do know this. The words that we just sang, there's this beautiful line in the song that says, I am who you say I am. I'm crowned with victory. I love that line because so often our world wants to put labels on who you are, of what you've done or where you've been. But there's a label in this world that God puts on you when you have a relationship in Christ through Him back to Him, where He says, I know who you are, and I give you strength, and I give you courage, and I give you victory over this world. So I pray and I hope that you would experience this for yourselves, where you can champion this, where you can have this courage and this strength. Because there's people in your life you don't even know yet that might rub shoulders with, where they're going to be like, what's going on with them? And by the evidence of your faith, you'll be able to say, I just live with this championship of reconciliation, where I just live with freedom in this. Because I know who I am. I don't have an identity crisis. As we close up, I just want to let you know, the number that we have provided for you, you can text it at any point. At any point of the week, we would love to chat with you. Anything going on in your life, prayer requests, anything, we will be there for you. And for people that call Vital Point home and are looking to give online, you can just e-transfer us at accounting. accounting@vitalpointchurch.com. Simple and easy. Go to the website. You can check out all that stuff. Upcoming events all on the website. We've got great stuff coming forward for us as a church as we all explore and grow in faith together. Let me pray for us, and then we'll be done with our time online today. Father God, this conversation of identity crisis is something that we will probably battle for a very long time. Many of us might be having this sense and urge that I'm done with the identity crisis. I need something that's going to give me a hope. It's going to give me a sense of peace inside my heart, inside my world. And Father, I just pray right now by your Spirit that you would let these people know in a way of nudging them or speaking to them through someone in their life or through a conversation here online today, that you see them, that you identify with them, that you care for them, and you would love for them to be part of your family. God, I also pray for us that do have this relationship, that are beginning and continuing to walk down this path of faith, that we would understand that being champions of reconciliation is one of the greatest things that we could do for this world, because it always points back to you. I pray that we would live on mission, that we would champion this identity and live it out every single day. I pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Thanks for joining us online. I hope you have an incredible week, and God bless.